Well, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 tonight. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. Philippians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 10. And I'm going to read these for you, if you'll just follow along. In verse 10, we're going to read through verse 20. It says in verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So tonight's word, or tonight's trait or characteristic that we're going to look at, is that of being content. Being content. Now, in the Wonderful Word of God series that we've been working on, we've talked about being content. And in messages in the past, you've heard some of these passages of Scripture. In this particular passage in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says something here about his life, that he was going to be content because of what had happened in his life. He said it didn't matter what state it was. He said in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Okay? And so the Apostle Paul had come to this realization that contentment in his life was an important characteristic. But you understand that at this particular time, the Apostle Paul had been through much already in his life and had maybe learned how to be or become content in his life. Can I tell you something? Being content is not a natural characteristic. Okay? It's not, right? How many of you remember being born content? Okay, how many of you remember being born? Okay. All right, good. I can testify that 11 children that she has born into this world, I helped raise them, if you will. But can I tell you something? None of them have been content. None. Just wah, cry, you know. They have to be taught to be content. That, hey, this is enough. This is what you need. This, you know. And it's something that we need as well, right? Because what do we always want? We want more, right? And listen, please do not confuse the word content with the word satisfied, okay? They go together somewhat, but they're not exactly the same, all right? They have somewhat of a different connotation, each one of them. So here's what the feeling or the idea of being content as a believer that we want to come across. The dictionary defines being content or contentment as rest or quietness of the mind in the present condition. In the present condition. Okay, so in other words, you have rest or quietness of mind in the present condition. What did Paul say? He said that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Did that mean that he was in a good place necessarily? No. Did it mean that he was in a bad place? Not necessarily. But whatever place he was at rest in his mind. He was quiet in his mind, and it was because of God that he could do that. Hey, listen, folks, if we do not have God, can we really be content? No, because there is no rest or quietness of the mind without God. You understand that Paul learned that contentment was something that he needed. And we're going to, of course, talk about another verse here in just a moment. But let me continue with the definition. It says, he uses the word satisfaction, which holds the mind in peace. And listen to this. Restraining complaint, opposition, or further desire. Okay, so it's holding some things back. So that means that there are possible complaints to be made. Right? There is possible opposition to the idea. There is possible further desire wanted in the circumstance. But being content restrains that. You see how that works in our lives? And do you see that as believers in Christ? Listen, folks, do we agree with everything? No. Is there a valid complaint about some things and conditions in our lives? Well, sure. Is there further desire, further things that we would long for or like to see take place and happen? Yes. I mean, how many of you would like maybe a nicer vehicle, okay? Or a nicer home, right? Or, of course a larger salary, right? All right? Of course we would like those things, right? Everybody understand, it's okay to like that, to want, that's all right. But see, to learn to be content means that we harness that. We restrain that. And we keep it in subjection, if you will. And the Bible, the dictionary further says that it implies a moderate degree of happiness. Okay, being content. In other words, you're actually happy about it. You're okay with it. It's not a grudge against God, right? You're not holding a grudge and saying, well, no, I don't like this state that I'm in, and I don't like this. I have some complaints, and I have some further desires, and I have some opposition to this, and I'm not happy. Okay? That's not content. But contentment is, you know what? Yeah, there may be some things that I could complain about, but I'm not going to. There may be some things that I might be in opposition to, but I'm going to go along with it. Or perhaps there are some things that I would desire, but I'm going to refrain from that, or just hold off on it because I am happy with where I am right now in this present position and condition. So we have rest or quietness of the mind in the present condition. So how do we go about this as a believer in Christ? And can I just say to you, the whole key to this thing is God. The whole key to this idea is God. And furthermore, it's trusting God. It's trusting Him. That He knows what's best, even though we may have a valid complaint. Can I ask you a question? Did the Apostle Paul have a valid complaint about the thorn in the flesh that afflicted him? Yes. Did he go to God with said complaint? Yes. Just once?
Oh, twice? Oh no, three times. Okay, was that bad? No. Did that mean that Paul wasn't content? No. But he did ask. But how do we know that Paul was content? Because of his response to the answer that God gave. He said he would rather glory in his infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hey, listen, that gave us a clue that he was content. He was at quietness and peace of mind in his present condition. And folks, so it hinges on God and how we view God in our lives, whether or not we're going to decide to exercise contentment. Contentment. So first of all, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this is just something that we all can work on. And you know what? Maybe we're good at it most of the time, but there may be times where we could be better at this, being content. Any of you get upset with God? Come on now. It's all right. We're at church. You don't have to lie. Right? But we need to learn to be content. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's begin in verse 2. Verse 1, it talks about the servants and the masters and all that stuff. It says in verse 2, "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings." Does that sound like being at rest and quietness of the mind? No, not at all. Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So he says these things do not support contentment. All right, these are things that are going against that teaching, because he says if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. Okay, and then look at verse 6 though. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness with contentment is great gain. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Content. At rest or quiet in the mind, in our present condition, restraining complaint, opposition, or further desire, and implying a moderate degree of happiness. Yeah. And he says here that we are to be content in these things. So the first thing we want to talk about is being content in our bodies. Yeah, in our body. You know, one of my favorite verses is, "Bodily exercise profiteth little." So I don't. Some of you got a kick out of that. Amen. But you know what? It still does profit some. I mean, you understand. But in our bodies, we are all different sizes and shapes, right? We have all different things in our bodies. Listen, I guess foolishly, if you will, quite heartily abused my body as a young man. In junior high and high school, I ran 10 miles a day almost every day. For cross country and track, I was a long distance runner. And on long car rides or days like this when it's the barometric pressure sinks low, if you will, or changes, I feel it. And the stiffness, and it's popping right now, that's pretty cool. All right? Our bodies. But you know what? So I don't have to be grumbling and complaining about all that. I don't have to be discontent with that. We need to be content and understand that you don't necessarily have to like it. You just have to be content with it. You have to be okay with it, because that's something that we as believers need to do. In our bodies, he says all these things about in the text that we read about having his needs met and how he knew how to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer needs. And he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And in this portion of scripture that we just looked at, here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said all these things, godliness with contentment is great gain, and we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Let's just be okay with what we have and content in our physical bodies. Hey, listen, is illness going to come to this body? May I have some kind of complaint about that? Yes, but you know what? I can be content with that. You know that, is this body going to perhaps let me down? Yes, it probably will at some point in time. Maybe I'll lose the feeling in my fingers, or maybe I'll do something silly and lose some fingers. I have a good friend that has lost a few fingers. Hello, Dr. Smith. I have another friend. He got his fingers stuck in a, somehow he's working on a car or something, got stuck in the fan belt and yanked a couple fingers off. And, you know, he's a faithful bus mechanic. And God's blessing him in his life. But, something might happen and our body lets us down and we're not able. But you know what? Paul had that thorn in the flesh. And we can glory in Christ and in the power of Christ and be content in our lives, no matter what circumstances our earthly bodies go through. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, therefore, take no thought, saying, oh, by the way, remember what contentment said? Rest or quietness of the mind. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's contentment. Speaking of our dear friend, Dr. Smith, we had the opportunity. Lord kind of worked it out. My son went to work for someone, and it was one block away from Dr. Smith's house. So I just stopped it, say hello. And he was really glad that we did and got to see some of the kids ahead with me. And we got to talking, and he's got a back surgery coming up. You pray for Dr. Smith on June 7th. He's got a back surgery coming up. And, he's just mad that he's going to have to be out for 12 to 15 weeks in recovery because he wants to go preach. And he said, hey, you know, Brother Combs, the only time my back doesn't hurt me is when I'm up preaching. I said, well, then just hold a marathon and just keep preaching. He goes, yeah. He's getting older and, his body's letting him down. My dear friend, Dr. Fisk, likewise, can't do what he wants to do for the Lord because his body's letting him down. But you know what? Both of these men, they have a shining characteristic. They're content. They're content. Their God is still in control of their life. And they're okay with that. And you know what? They're even relatively happy about it. And that's okay. And that's good, because our bodies are not going to always cooperate with what we want, with what we want to accomplish as believers in Christ. Oh, don't you remember the Bible says that the Spirit indeed is willing, But the flesh is weak. Yeah. The flesh is weak, folks. These are earthen vessels. They're cursed. They're going to break down. They're going to fail us. But that doesn't mean that we just pout and bellyache and complain. You know, instead of Baptist with a capital B, right? We should be Baptist with a capital C for complainers. Because it's wah, 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 wah. No, no, no. Be content. I know that starts with a C too, okay? But we've got to learn to be content in our bodies. In Hebrews 13, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember I told you the key to being content is God. Is God. And our faith and trust in him. And that he is going to care for us. Go to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. So we need to learn to be content in our bodies. We also need to learn to be content in our minds. In our minds. Now remember I told you at the very beginning that contentment and satisfaction should not be so used synonymously, etc. Because if you say you're satisfied, that means you're not going to do anything else about it. Okay? I'm just imperfect, so I'm just going to continue to be imperfect. Well, that's not the connotation that contentment has. Okay? You ought not be satisfied with it. You should press forward and try to do better. But all the while you're doing better, be at rest and be at peace in contentment with what's being accomplished. You understand the difference, but also the sameness? Okay? It's confusing. I just wish English would just pick different words for different things, right? But anyways, we won't get into that tonight. But here we are in Isaiah 26. Look at verse 3. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Hey, this is a content mind. A content mind is a mind that is stayed on the Lord. That is stayed on God. That is founded and anchored in His God. You know, God wants us to trust Him. And those that are content, as we read about the definition of contentment, it is holding the mind in peace. In peace. And we just read that says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And if we're content in our mind, then it will help us as we are content in our bodies. And the Bible tells us that this is not misplaced trust. Because it is trust in Jehovah God, and He is our everlasting strength, and He is the one that can be trusted. Can you or I be trusted? Not necessarily. Hopefully we can, right? But He indeed can. There's no question about that. And so our mind can be stayed on Him, and that brings perfect peace. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. You see, folks, we can have contentment in our mind if we'll trust in the Lord. We know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths.
You see, folks, we've got to have our minds content. We need to have our bodies content in our God. I read to you Matthew chapter 6. The sister verse to that is Luke chapter 12, verses 27 to 32. It says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of, here it is, doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, folks, I think in Matthew it seemed to kind of put an emphasis on the body being content. And here in Luke it seems to put an emphasis on the mind being okay with what God has for us. We're resting in Him. We are having quietness and rest or peace of the mind, restraining complaint, restraining opposition or further desire, and implying a moderate degree of happiness, resting without being disquiet. You know, God wants us to rest in Him. In Romans 12, we understand that our minds need to be renewed. Because what do our minds automatically think of? The negative. I just talked about that just a little bit ago, right? We always focus on the negative. We focus on what we don't have instead of what God has given to us. That's how we can be content in our mind. Just think of all the things that God has done for you instead of all the things He hasn't done for you. I mean, that's being content in your mind, is it not? And we know Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we have this thing of the body. Then we have this thing about the mind. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, does that sound like someone who's content? It does, in mind and in body. And guess what? It's our reasonable service. It's reasonable. Is it not reasonable to be content in God? He's a good God. He's a good God. And He's a good Father. He's good. God is so good. You understand that this is peace and rest of mind. This is restraining complaint, opposition, or further desire, because what God has done for us is enough. Even if salvation was the only thing that we got to have, it would be enough. And we should and could be content with that. And even if we only got a few years to enjoy that gift of eternal life here on this earth, because it is enjoyable now and later, right? It's eternal life. It's everlasting life. We don't have to wait to heaven to get it. We have it now. It's something we can enjoy. But even if we only have a few years, it's still enough. Or if we have 100 years, it's enough. You understand the limitations of the time limit of our life. Doesn't matter if we're content or not. We can be content either way. In Romans 15, it says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. We can glorify Him with our mouth and with our life. in our mind. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians 13 it says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Does that sound like someone or a group of people who is content? Yes. It's contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And being like-minded with Christ is going to help us to be godly. Therefore, we can be content. Let me ask you a question. If you are not godly, how is the contentment thing going to go? Not very well. Not very well. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 22 through 24, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Philippians 2 says, if there be any consolation, therefore, any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That sounds like a content mind. That fits the characteristics of the definition of being content. In 2 Timothy 1, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know how we get a sound mind? What did it say in Isaiah? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That's how we get a sound mind. It's founded on the rock. We talked about the wise man building his house upon the rock. Don't build the foundation of your mind on the things of this world, because it'll fall over flat in a moment's notice. In 1 Peter, it tells us to gird up the loins of our mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And this has to do with the contentment of your mind. Folks, we need to learn to be content in our mind. One of the last verses here for this particular topic. Philippians 4:7, and the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Now, I've got to hurry. We need to be content in our bodies. We need to be content in our minds. But we also need to be content in our life. In our life. You know, the Bible says that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. And can I say to you, that if you're born again and you're a believer in Christ, this life that you have to live, no matter how short or long it is, no matter how good or bad it may seem to you, it's not yours anymore. So be happy with it. Be content with it. Say, well, it's not what I've always wanted. Well, it doesn't matter what you've always wanted. Now you say, but Brother Combs, doesn't the Bible say something about getting the desires of our heart? Yes, it does. Do you want to know what the qualifying thing of that is? It's when your desires match up with his desires, then you get them. So really, it's the desires of his heart, not yours. And that's what we need to be happy with. And that's what we need to be content with. Have that moderate level of happiness in our lives. Restraining complaint, restraining opposition,
restraining further desire, and being held in peace and rest and quietness of our mind because of the life that we get to live for Him. You see, we need to be content with our life. Dr. Smith always used to tell us that if he had 1,000 lives to live, he'd want to be God's preacher in every one of them. You think Dr. Smith's content being a preacher? I do. I told my mom when I first entered the ministry, she said, well, what are you going to do about this? And what are you going to do about that? And what are you going to do if this doesn't work out? And what are you going to do about retirement? I said, Mom, preachers don't retire. They just die. It's just, you know, just because I'm just content, tickled, pickled, peachy, whatever you want to call it, to be a preacher. Yes. Yes, I did say all that. Some of you laughed. You needed it. Okay. In Philippians 3, I'm going to move quickly. I'm already over tonight, but I think it's important. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, and be thus minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able, even to subdue all things unto himself. That's being content in life. Being content in life. In the life that God has given us to live. There are verses that are in 3 John chapter 1. You can read about how the body can be deceptive. A man named Diotrephes was kind of causing trouble in the church. He was not caring for the things in the life that God had given him to in the right way. And God was going to care for that situation. But there was a good man in that same chapter, portion of scripture, Demetrius. He had a good report of all men, and he was at contentment in his life. And we see in Galatians chapter 6 that if someone is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual should restore such a one. We should bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ, and that whatsoever we shall sow, that's what we're also going to reap. This is the life that we need to be content with living. You know what? It's not a bad thing to miss out on sin. Why is it that kids or even adults complain about missing out on the things of the world? That's not the life we're living, folks. We shouldn't be sad about that. We shouldn't be disturbed about that. We should be content with the godly, holy, Christian life that God has allowed us to live because of salvation. We should be happy with it. We should be at rest and at peace with it instead of begrudging and unhappy with what God has given us as a life to live. You know, there are some times where we get a little sideways with God. And we decide that what we have is not enough. We need to learn to be content in our bodies, content in our mind, and content in the life that God has given to us to live.